another edition of Sound of La Liga. Preview pod, where we will look at the upcoming fixtures in La Liga and have a look back at the Spanish teams who played in Europe. Joining me today is La Liga Jack.
Good evening, Gav.
Good evening to you, Jack. Good evening. Dan, the man.
All right, Jack. Gav, how are we doing, pal?
Not too bad. Don't worry about this. The listeners won't understand where we're sounding slightly frustrated, having said hello to each other about 10 times in the last 5 minutes. And the brilliant Paco Pulley.
Brilliant.
Well, top man, Paco.
That's a compliment. Top man. Yeah, well, when you tell me that, I only have to answer good evening, you know.
Well, lads, we have a look back at what happened in Europe, and we will start with PSG basically spanking Barcelona. There's no other way to put it. They were hammered off the pitch. Paco, what happened?
A complete and utter trashing, if you want to. And obviously, like most of Europe saw how Barca's descent upon hell went quite smoothly, and Paris completely obliterated Luis Enrique's lads. And obviously the aftermath has been quite interesting, because most of the fans and also analysts and pundits have talked about if there was any way of seeing this coming. And actually, I think that if you look into Luis Enrique's play style and playbook, and the way he has morphed and changed the way Barca has played throughout the last couple of years, actually believe that you could see it coming. This train wreck has been prevented, if you want to, because if you remember, Guardiola's playstyle book was always focused on the ball, on ball possession and passing and poking at the other team. And on the other hand, Luis Enrique's Barca plays very straightforward football, A to B, very quickly transitions and trying to put everything in hands of Leo Messi and his two mates at the forward, at Luis Suarez and Neymar. And I believe that transition hasn't been as smooth as it should. And obviously, PSG took advantage of Barca's weaknesses. Comes to mind the weak midfield. For example, I think about André Gomes. I have had the luck of seeing him quite a lot the last 2 years. André Gomes is underperforming amazingly this season. He doesn't resemble nothing to the player that Valencia had last season, and especially 2 seasons ago. So I believe that change, that transition, has at the end of the day made that Barca is quite a predictable team. And obviously PSG, who has lots of quality on the field, took advantage last Tuesday.
And Paco, I just want to throw something at you before I ask one of the lads. In 2015, when Barcelona destroyed Europe on the way to winning the Champions League, they were missing two players who didn't line up against PSG. One of them was obviously Dani Alves, the other being Mascherano. I mean, what has gone so wrong with the team to go from dominating all of Europe to basically being... Now, to be fair to PSG, they were outstanding. They were brilliant on the night. But how have they... Are they lacking hunger? Is that team lacking hunger?
Well, I believe that lack of hunger is one of the reasons, but I tend to focus everything on the play style. And I think that many teams have already become used to the way Barca dominates games by sheer quality, if you want to call it that way, on the front lines with Messi, Suarez, Neymar. But at the same time, some sort of weakness or of weak spot in the midfield, but especially also in the defense. I believe that Barca's defense was one of the most overlooked traits of Guardiola's Barca, because obviously they attacked wonderfully, but they also knew how to defend themselves when you had strong sides in front of them. So I think that obviously losing key players, because Alves was a very important guy on the wing, and also, you know, Gerard Piqué hasn't had a partner for quite a while, because most of the time the manager or the coach tries to put some kind of secondary player next to him. And at the end of the day, no one can compare, for example, to Carlos Puyol, if you want to put it that way. So, yeah, I think that it is a team that has become very strong in front, but actually quite weak on two key places in the field, as midfield and obviously the defense.
What do you think of that, Jack?
I'd agree 100% with what Paco's saying. And actually, you have been able to see this coming, despite the English media's best efforts to tell you that this is a completely shock result. But I think the fact that Barcelona lost isn't a surprise. It was more the way that they just accepted it. It kind of, after the first goal, after Di Maria's free kick, but the Barcelona players, they their heads just completely went, and there just seemed to be no fight in them, which, coming from an Atleti fan, fight has a lot to do in football. It's a very big part. So the fact that they just were accepting defeat, but take nothing away from PSG, because they were absolutely fantastic, and they highlighted a weakness in Barcelona, which, as Paco has already mentioned, was the right-hand side of defence, and they exploited it. And the amount of times that either Di Maria or Draxler got one-on-one with Sergio Roberto, beat him for fun, and was able to cut balls back, and basically just, they could do what they liked down that wing, because Sergio Roberto was just no match for them. You know, he really wasn't up to the task, which is understandable, considering he's a central midfielder by trade, kind of become this auxiliary secondary player as a right back. But kind of in broader terms, the fact that Luis Enrique has gone to a much more direct style, so he's trying to get the ball up to Messi, Neymar, Suarez as quickly as possible and as much as possible, which, when you have three players of their ability, is completely, you know, completely understandable to do so. But it's so important that you then don't bypass the midfield in doing that. You still need to have Busquets and Iniesta and Andre Gomes or Dennis or even Rakitic performing in those key roles that they're used to performing. Otherwise, you're just kind of ended up with this disjointed mess that nobody really knows what they're doing. And that's kind of what it seemed to be like on Tuesday night.
Dan, the board have approached you. You're going to be manager next season for Barcelona. What do you do? Who do you get rid of? Who do you bring in?
Well, before I start getting rid of people, I think you need to look at who to come in. And one person who put in a fantastic performance just the night after on Wednesday were ex-Barcelona player Thiago for Bayern Munich. Absolutely ran it. And I loved Thiago when he came through at Barcelona, and I was gutted when he left and joined Guardiola at Bayern. And it's just gone from strength to strength. I know he's had quite a lot of knockbacks and setbacks with his injuries, but he's an absolutely class player, and he's all action. He's all over the field. He's linking the defence with the attack. He's doing what you expect from Barcelona midfielders, but hurt by Bayern Munich. And they didn't see him any of that the other day. Iniesta, quite wasteful when he had the ball. Busquets, one of his worst games I've seen in a long time. Andre Gomes isn't playing. Is not in form. I'm surprised that all three lasted as long as they did, 3-0, before one of them were replaced with Andre Gomes going off. So I think, although they've got a lot of options in midfield, I think someone like Thiago, it's that style of midfielder what they're missing at the minute, especially with quick legs, bit of pace about him, can get around the field. Now, in terms of getting rid of it, they've signed a lot of players to improve the squad. Is it working? I mean, the searching for a goal, the front three were all off form and weren't doing it. Well, Neymar impressed at times, but Paco Alcacer still sat on the bench. What's the point of having him if, when you're searching for a goal, you're not going to bring him on? I know he's not played as well as he has in his Valencia days, but if you're going to have a player, if you're going to sign a striker and not put him on when you need a goal, you might as well get rid of him. It's a waste of wages, surely. Dani Alves is a massive miss still. They've both just picked up on it last in their comments. And but right inside, I don't think people gave credit to Alves as much as he deserved, gave him the credit he deserved. Because, yes, he was brilliant going forward defensively, but a lot of people thought that they were quite suspect at back. And I don't think it were. I think he had a couple of mistakes, but so do all fullbacks nowadays, especially attacking fullbacks, and they haven't replaced it right back. And PSG, Emery obviously did his own work. He knew, being their ex-Sevilla manager, he knew where to target Barca, and he's gone down there, left-hand side, Barca's right. And as Jack said, absolutely tore Sergio Roberto to bits. And well, no cover for Sergio Roberto. Rakitic weren't playing, who normally gets up and down and joins in on that side and puts a shift in defensively, but there's nothing there. So in midfield and at right back, it's still still an area where Barca need to invest in and strengthen.
And Paco, if Dan doesn't get the job next season, who's being spoken about?
Well, you see, there are several candidates because, as you may know, Luis Enrique's contract expires in June. And it seems like right now, Barca's focused on securing Leo Messi and trying to renew and extend his contract. But it seems it's not the same with Luis Enrique. It seems that this latter defeat has seriously hurted his options of continuing. Also, I would like to talk about the way the manager took the defeat. He wasn't a class act about what happened. He was sour in the presser. He was you could say rude, even rude. He had like a very short toe-to-toe with a journalist that asked him after the game in the flash interview, and he seemed to be very, very sour on the inside, and he doesn't take well criticism either way, okay, even when he wins, but especially when such a huge defeat happens, the way he answered and replied and all in all he behaved last Tuesday night, I think it shows some kind of nervousness, product of maybe the fact that his team didn't deliver. He also, as a manager, didn't deliver because he didn't provide any kind of answers or solutions or a change of pace to the game. I think that should also be on his short list of problems. And at the end of the day, I believe that there is a very accurately large segment of Barca fans who believe that a switch on the bench is absolutely necessary next summer. Names are being thrown around, you know, Ernesto Valverde, for example, Athletic Club's coach. He has also been in the shortlist for a couple of consecutive summers if Luis Enrique didn't follow up with his previous seasons. At the end of the day, he stood here and in Spain, in Barca. And Valverde is one of the names on around. Also, you know, Eusebio Sacristán, right now the manager in Real Sociedad, he was a Barca player back on the day. He was the manager, the coach for the youth team, Barca's youth team in second division. And his name is also being tossed around because La Real Sociedad's season is being quite impressive. The way that team is playing and performing and delivering, I think those two are right now are top dogs and top names on the list. In case Luis Enrique didn't continue next season as Barca's manager.
What about Sampaoli?
Oh well, you know Sampaoli hasn't even finished his first season in Sevilla. You know, and Sampaoli, we should talk about that more often. Sevilla has a real shot at the title, and that is amazing. That was you would tell me this stuff 9 months ago, and I wouldn't have believed you. And Sampaoli has Sevilla right now on a spot where they are still alive in the Champions League. They got knocked out in Copa del Rey, obviously, but in La Liga they are a title contender on their own right, and we are already. Well, in March, in final days of February. So I think that's very impressive. But I don't know if Sampaoli would change pace or change his bench, switching the bench and move to Barcelona after only one season in Sevilla. I seriously doubt it.
That's a shame because I love Mr. Sampaoli.
He had a shot of coming to Valencia last season, last summer.
Oh, I'm just so glad he didn't.
Well, you know, I believe life is full of missed opportunities. So, you know, Peter Lim and management decided to stay and stick around with Paco Ayestarán, who obviously is also bald, but has no resemblance to Sampaoli whatsoever. And, well, things didn't go as well as expected. But it is true. Sampaoli was one of the potential candidates last summer for Valencia's bench.
Well, lads, we leave the Barcelona loving or hating or whatever you want to call it and move on to Madrid, who were involved in a pretty impressive game against Napoli. Jack, what did you make of Madrid's performance?
I thought they did what they needed to do. And now they've got themselves into a position where going to Napoli, which isn't an easy place to go by any means, especially, you'll agree with me considering you seem to love them this season. So I think they've got themselves into a comfortable enough position where they can go there and not really have to worry too much about going out. Obviously, Napoli still do have the away goal, which will make things a little bit interesting.
Lovely goal, Jack, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was fabulous. But I think I still prefer Iron Robins from the Wednesday night games. But if Napoli do manage to grab an early goal, then that tie is going to get very, very interesting indeed. Well, I mean, I'd quite like to see it not kind of just fizzle out and Real Madrid to just go to Napoli, do what they need to do and just come home having qualified quite comfortably. I'd like Napoli to show the fight that they started the game with, attempt to play on the crowd and whatnot and really push Madrid and make them fight and work for that result. So I reckon it will still be close. Despite the 3-1 scoreline, it will still be a close game. But I still think Real Madrid will
Don't give predictions. You stop giving predictions. You
But the Champions League seems to be the only place where I can get predictions right. So I'm making as many as I can.
Dan, I'm watching a lot of Napoli this season. I think they're absolutely fantastic to watch. And at home, they're a completely different animal to when they're playing away. What do you reckon? Do you think they'll really, really put it to Madrid? Or is this case closed, Madrid through?
I think Madrid will go through just from what based on what I saw on Wednesday night. Napoli's defence didn't impress me as much. Real Madrid still have got some issues at the back. I think they look a lot better with 4 at the back instead of the 3/5 with the wing backs. But they just gave the ball away cheaply in defence. And I know Ronaldo's on a drought in the Champions League, over 500 minutes, I think he's now without a goal. But he's going to score sooner or later. And if they defend like they did in the first leg, I can see Real cancelling out Napoli's away goal. And I don't think Napoli will score 3, at least, in the second leg. I think it'll be another good game. I thought it was a great game. And the early goal to Napoli made it a better game, I feel, because Real had to come out and the press really well and they went for it. But I just don't think that they'll have enough in them to knock them out. It'll be a close tie, but Real are through. And just to point out there, I mentioned about Ronaldo not scoring. It's one of his better games, I must say.
Yeah, he played well. He played really well, basically providing as opposed to being the target man for a lot of the games, didn't he?
Yeah, it was like watching Ronaldo evolve of a couple of seasons ago where he'd do a lot more in a game for his team. So linking up with a striker, with Benzema, getting it from the midfield, dribbling at defenders, having a run at them. Great assist, I think it is tenacity for Toni Kroos's goal, how he kept going, put him under pressure and passed it back for Toni Kroos to do a typical goal what we expect from him where he gets it on the floor. And it's interesting because when I have conversations about Ronaldo with people who don't watch Real Madrid and they still imagine him how he were at Man United in his first few years at Real Madrid, it's completely changed from that. But it was enjoyable watching him do more on the pitch than just put the ball in the net, which he did on Wednesday night with link-up play with Benzema and how well he worked with the pressing with the midfielders.
Paco, will Real Madrid retain the Champions League?
Well, that's a tough one. If we've well, I would like to say about Ronaldo that I find it amazing that a goalless Ronaldo is actually quite more useful to his team than a player who scores a couple of goals every game. Because Ronaldo as a finisher doesn't stand out as a player. Yeah, he's a very good striker, and he has that sixth sense, you could say, inside the box. But the other day against Napoli, he had what I believe it's one of his best and finest games this season, which arguably is not saying much. But I think he was quite good, and even he didn't score any goals. He set up many of the most dangerous plays for his teammates. So the Ronaldo issue can drag on as much as the player wants, because he's never going to stop. He's never going to cease to seek his personal glory. But at the same time, if he's able to change some kind of side of the way he plays, and he becomes more of an assistant or of a setup player, he can become quite more useful for his teammates. And about the other issue, I think that even they won last year, Real Madrid's performance in the Champions League hasn't been memorable enough since Zidane took over. It is true that he set up a new record. He was 40 games unbeaten. But at the same time, I see that it's a team who, without that glimmer of greatness, you know, the difference between a notable, a good team and an excellent side. And I think that they have enough quality to be able to knock out Napoli. Obviously, I believe that they are going to move on to a next round. But at the same time, I don't feel thrilled as a football fan when I see Real Madrid playing. Actually, it happens the same with Barca this year. And I believe that I'm not the only one feeling this way. You can chalk it up to Ronaldo not being his finest, maybe Benzema underperforming. I don't know. There can be many ways of putting it, but I think that they are one of the top candidates, obviously. And I'm not sure if they are going to win it again and do a double down on the Champions League titles. I believe, for example, Bayern Munich the other day were a world-class side. The way they play, the way they obliterated completely Arsenal. Sorry.
Yeah, come on though, Paco. It's Arsenal.
I'm sorry, but it's true. It's true. Bayern was, you know, greatness could be perceived off their performance. And at the same time, I don't believe that neither Barca nor Madrid can find that kind of championship candidate quality that, for example, Bayern Munich set up the other day. Obviously, there are two key elements that have to be put into place. When Ronaldo has his night, he's unstoppable. The same way when Messi has his night, he's the best player ever. So those are two different sides to this argument. But I don't believe that Real Madrid is the favorite right now, at least based on the way they play football.
Well, that looks after the Champions League. We've had three Spanish teams in the Europa League. We had Athletic, who comfortably beat Apoel. We had Celta, who went down to Shakhtar. And we had Villarreal, who were spanked by Roma. Dan, wasn't a great night in the Europa League for the Spanish League teams.
It weren't, Gaff, and it weren't a great week in general as well, adding Barcelona's 4-0 loss. And it's something what we've not been used to in the last couple of years because of the utter dominance from Spanish teams in both European competitions, whether it were the Champions League or Europa League. I look at some of the games. I look at, Barca had a tough team in PSG, and Villarreal have played a tough team in Roma, who are currently second, I believe, in Serie A. So I don't think we can read too much into it in terms of, or what does it say about the Spanish League, or is the Spanish League on a downfall in terms of the performances in Champions League, because I feel that Atletico and Sevilla will both pick up wins next week, so that'll take it to four wins for the Spanish teams in our competition, five, sorry, with Athletic Bilbao as well. So not a great week, but the most shocking one is Villarreal's, because the performance were dreadful. I think it really were dreadful. And Roma played well, but I don't think they're exceptional. I think they were clinical, but I don't think they're exceptional. And it's a problem what we've seen with Villarreal in the league recently, where they've had nothing in attack. They've been quite good in defence. They weren't tonight, far from it. But Sergio Asenjo's kept them in games, or he's earned them points. Tonight, the back four were all over the place. And once again, didn't have enough in attack. So, very poor night for Villarreal. We can't see them getting through now, can we?
Oh, I'm an optimist, Jack. You know me.
Jack! I can't see them getting through.
No, they're not. But Jack, I seen a few tweets going out, basically stating that the Spanish league teams are now, you know, they're starting to regress. I'm of the opinion that no, they're still the same. It's just that a lot of the other European leagues with that team, especially Roma, who are, I mean, let's face it, they're challenging inverted commas for the Serie A title. That a lot of them, the other European leagues teams, have strengthened as opposed to La Liga teams weakened. Like, are you seeing that happening? I mean, is it now just becoming a more balanced, you know, field of play between Europa League is by far and away the most competitive European trophy by a mile. It's more competitive than the Champions League based on the fact that everyone in it has a chance. Am I off, far off the mark, or is it true that Spanish League teams are just to start to take a backward step?
I don't think it's necessarily a backward step. I would definitely agree with the idea that other European leagues, particularly the French and Italian leagues, have definitely grown in strength recently, and they now have kind of the coaching as well as the players, instead of just having some big names. Roma, the perfect example of this. They've got tons of well-known players and good quality players as well in their squad, but they never really had a coach that could tap into that ability, whereas now they do. So I think it's just other European leagues starting to play catch up a little bit. But I think the thing that's most striking from the Villarreal game is the fact that last year in the Europa League, at this exact same stage, Villarreal were drawn against Napoli. They put in some very good performances against opposition that we're now seeing in the Champions League, playing against Real Madrid and the Bernabeu. So I think although Spanish teams have kind of not necessarily gone off the boil or taken a step backwards, but they have definitely, the level of performance has certainly dropped. Not by much, but it has dropped. And it's just a case where the two are kind of coinciding with one another. But Villarreal's performance tonight was just, it was awful. It was, you put it this way, you put any semi-average striker in Dzeko's position and he scores at least two of those goals, because the defending was just awful. For his first, he kind of half dummied it and Musacchio just fell to the floor. And then for a second goal, the fact that half of the defence had stepped up and the other half had dropped deep, which just meant that he was able to beat the offside trap. It's just basic errors that for a team who boasts the statistically the best defence in La Liga, they look far from it. It was really horrendous.
Paco, a lad on Twitter, pal Odegaard, asked a question directed to yourself regarding Celta's waning performances. Now, after watching Celta against Alaves last week, to be fair, they were outplayed. Alaves certainly deserved to go through. But then to watch Celta's performance against Atleti on Sunday was just one of the games of the season. What? Are they involved in too much? And are they in it? Is it a case that they're trying to pick games in order to perform in? And it's just too many games coming around, and they just don't have the squad depth to be able to compete, especially playing the way we know they can play.
I believe it's obvious that Celta hasn't got a deep bench to be able to face several competitions at the same time. And that was one of their handicaps when facing mighty Alaves, if you might say. And that's why they couldn't overcome Pellegrino's lads, and that's why they got knocked out in the semifinals in La Copa. Also, I think that Orellana's departure, precisely to Valencia, I believe Orellana's departure has taken a hard hit on the team's quality and also on the way plays are set up, on the leadership he provided inside of the pitch, because Iago Aspas, the forward, is arguably the main player in Celta, but Orellana was his second in command, you know, the one of the players with most experience, with most danger, bringing danger to any play. And I think Orellana leaving and being signed by Valencia has also taken a hard hit on their chances. And finally, I think that it is a team, let me put it this way, I think it's a team that peaked in January. It's a team whose physical performance, tactical performance, football overall, peaked last month. And right now they are on a downwards spiral after the Copa knockout and obviously after today's defeat. I think that the season is going to be extremely long for them. You know, they have also missing, I think, one game against Real Madrid because of that windy storms we had here in, mm-hmm. in Spain, in Vigo. And I think that the season, we used to say this in Spanish, the season is going to be too long for them. It's going to be quite sticky on the last couple of days. But obviously, it's not the only problem regarding Spanish football right now. You were talking before about Villarreal. I would like to say that Villarreal was defeated 3 weeks ago by Valencia, one of the worst Valencias ever I've seen in my life. And Valencia kept a clean sheet and scored two goals. So today's Roma defeat, isn't that unexpected? If Valencia could do it, also Rome could do it, you could say. And finally, regarding Athletic Club, I believe that they are the side with the most strength inside them regarding their physical performance. I think right now, in a crucial moment in the season, they have the legs to be able to at least overcome physically their opponents. And today in their game 3-2 with Aduriz's goal also, I believe that they are the side with the most options of moving on. And on the other hand, I think that Celta and Villarreal, obviously Villarreal, have absolutely zero chance of moving on to the next round. I think that their fight right now relies heavily on La Liga, on the chance of qualifying themselves for next season in Europe.
Well, we'll leave Europe there and we'll have a look at the upcoming La Liga fixtures. Lads, we've Granada versus Real Betis on Friday. It's not a particularly good-looking game to be watching. Jack, how's this going, Chief?
I'm going for a 1-1 draw for this one.
Dan?
I'm going to go for a 1-0 Granada win, Gav.
Ooh. Paco?
It oozes a draw smell. 1-1.
We'll talk about the next one. Lads, we've got Sporting Gijón home to Atleti. Now, Jack, is Traore going to get his headed goal?
Not a chance, mate. Not a chance. Okay, this is probably like, right, if he does score a header, I will never come on the pod again, because if he's scoring headers against Atleti, then Atleti are broken and we need to really go back to basics. I think this is going to be a really big match for both teams. Obviously, we've got Sporting coming off of the 2-0 win against Leganes last weekend. That was our first away win since January 2016, so over a year without them picking up any points on the road, which is just incredible. But they've also struggled at home. Atleti need to take advantage of this. We smashed them 5-0 earlier on in the season when everything was rosy and we were flying high in the top of the table. But we need to win this game. If we drop points, then me being the pessimist that I am, we'll be in serious trouble in terms of the race for fourth place. So it's going to be a tough game because Sporting are fighting for their lives and are desperate for points. And El Molinón is quite a hostile place to go. I think that's the least we can say about it after the Sporting fans' chants against Iñaki Williams on the first day of the season, I believe it was. So it's a very hostile atmosphere. I think it'll be a really tough game, but I'm going to go for a fairly comfortable Atleti 2-0 win.
Paco, Rui has banned the priest from basically blessing Spartan Gijón, and last week was the first time he'd done it and they got a result. Is he going to keep the priest away this week?
Well, you see, this seems like a story directly out from The Exorcist or whatever movie related to...
The Exorcist.
You know, supernatural powers. But I think that stuff in Gijón is quite more mundane. I believe that they just simply are not good enough. And in games like this one, it is going to show. I'm going to back 1-3 result, away win, with a Traore header.
There, see, the man knows. The man.
You're asking for trouble there, Paco, mate. You're asking for a lot of trouble.
Oh, you know, I put Traore as one of my top five exciting moves in the winter transfer market, but because, simply put, I believe that he can do it any worse than he did before. So I think he's going to deliver in Gijón at least a couple of goals before the season ends, because I think it's impossible to do it worse.
I'm still convinced he's in the wrong sport. I think he needs to get down to the EuroLeague, put on a basketball jersey.
We seen Sporting last week against Leganés, and every single ball that was played up to Traore was played to his feet. Why aren't they running down the wings and just... Because every time the ball came into him head high, he won the ball. Every single time. I actually counted. He did not lose the ball when it was crossed into him. So why are they passing it to his feet? I mean, come on. What's happening there?
I think you have there a blend that is openly calling for trouble. You know, Traore is a new player. He has come into a team that is obviously struggling. He hasn't got any kind of expertise on the way the team plays. And also, at the same time, you have to remember that Sporting has changed and switched manager in the last month. And Ruby is a manager who I know pretty well, because he was here in Levante for 6 months. And I believe he's a coach who likes and favors attractive football. But I think he's landed on the wrong spot, because right now Sporting needs something very quick, very direct, and pretty straightforward. So I think that's the reason for Sporting de Gijón playing that kind of you know, direct play style. And it seems there are some trouble to find two wingers who are able to perform with some kind of regular level, you know, because right now most of the team could be easily switched from one game to the other and you wouldn't notice, because all in all their performance is being lacking.
Dan, I'm actually going to go with a Spartan Gijón win here. You're gonna join me?
I'm not, Gav. I'm not. I think this is going to be the start of a run, which I discussed on Monday's pod, that Sporting, I can't see him picking up any points in the next three games with Atleti, Celta and Barcelona. I just think that, I know they got a great result last week against the 2-0 last week win were brilliant, but Atleti aren't going to defend as badly as what Sporting were up against. And I think they'll batter him, Gav. I think they'll batter him, Atleti. I just think that even with a Champions League game coming up in midweek for Atleti, I still think that the rotated squad's going to be too much. And going back to if we're going to see an header goal, he's going to have to chip it up for himself, isn't he? Because no one else has given him as much as we expected. It's like watching Barca at a weekend and just watching Piqué playing long ball constantly to Messi. It's not going to happen and it's not going to work. So why is the team doing it? I'm not sure, but there's a reason why we're near the bottom of the league, isn't there? So I think that says it all, to be fair.
Well, Dan, I'll stick with you. Match after that, Real Madrid versus Espanyol. Now, in recent seasons, as a Barcelona fan, we know what Espanyol like to do when they go to Bernabeu. We do, without being too sexual about it. We all know what they like to do.
Quite controversial.
Is it going to change, is it?
I think they'll put up a better fight than we've seen in recent seasons, but I don't think the result will change. I think it'll be a Real Madrid win. I think that at home, they're going to be too strong. Maybe if it were away, we could maybe take Espanyol could take a point. I just think that at the minute, they're starting to look a bit better, especially the performance last midweek, sorry. They'll take a lot from that. Ames will take a lot from that if he's restored and keeps his place in the team. Isco will be chomping to get back in. There's players there. Benzema got a goal, which haven't been as regular as they have in recent seasons for him. So I just think that Real, a bit like Atleti in the previous match we've just discussed, I think they're just going to have too much for the opposition. And 3-1 Real Madrid win, because, again, I can't see them keeping a clean sheet. They're struggling with clean sheets this season. And like always, they can score. So 3-1 Real Madrid win comfortably, but not as comfortable as it has been.
Paco, what are you seeing in this game? You've seen a Kike Sanchez Flores masterclass coming in.
Although I admire to some extent the way Kike Sanchez Flores builds up his teams from the defense, let me put it this way. I think there's a higher chance of me winning tomorrow the lottery and Skyping the next podcast from a beach resort in the Bahamas than Espanyol keeping a clean sheet next weekend. I think that Espanyol as a team, as a club, and also its fans go to their games against Madrid in Bernabeu as a cow goes to the slaughterhouse. And they feel that sense of don't minding at all.
Yeah.
I think it's a given that they are going to lose, because obviously there are like historical rivalry reasons between Espanyol and Barca. And I think that actually Espanyol fans don't care if their team loses in Madrid. They believe on the other 36 games in La Liga. But I would like to Kike Sanchez Flores to prove me wrong, but I think there's absolutely zero chance that Espanyol snatches a point or even the win from Madrid. 4-0.
Oh, Jack, come on, Mr. Optimistic. What are we looking at here, Chief?
Well, I would like for Kike Sanchez Flores to motivate his team enough that they do go out to the Bernabeu with some fight and spirit in them, and they don't just kind of sit there and take it. But there's a kind of sad inevitability that they're just going to get trounced. And it happens year in, year out. So I'm going to go for a 3-1 Real Madrid win.
I'm going to go with 2-2 draw.
Bloody hell, that really is being an optimist.
That's the only way to be, Chief. It's the only way to be. Match after that is Depor versus Depor. Jack, what are you looking at here?
I think Alaves are going to continue their miracle story, so I'm going to go for a slender Alaves win.
Paco.
Yeah, I think the same. I think that Alaves right now has a spirit and a morale that allows them to beat almost everyone, because they got trounced by Barca last week. But I think we are looking at an Alaves win, 1-0.
And Dan, make a 3.
Nope, I'm going to go for a boring 1-1 draw. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's not boring, but yeah, 1-1 draw.
Okay, I'm going to go for a Depor versus La Real style game, and Depor are going to hammer them. Now, lads, a potential cracker here next. We've got Sevilla versus the incredible Eibar. Paco, we'll start with you. Eibar, can they?
Can they do it?
Just can they?
Just can they? The Eibar's fairy tale story is, I think, one of the most beautiful and at the same time positive stories recently in La Liga. The way they manage, the way they perform in the pitch, the way they manage their club in their board, and the way they properly treat their fans. I think it's an example of management. I have lots of envy to the way they manage to cope with everything. But I also have to say that Sánchez-Pizjuán is one of the most difficult stadiums in Europe. It's going to be a tight game, but I believe at the end of the day, Sevilla will get the upper hand. So That's a 2-1 for me.
Paco, outside of Spain, especially in the UK and Ireland, Eibar, the story is extraordinary for those who understand it. And the club is genuine. They're genuinely loved. I mean, you cannot say a bad thing about Eibar. What is the perception in Spain like towards them? Is any different? Are they as recognised for what they're doing inside Spain compared to how they are outside Spain? Because they're practically worldwide outside Spain.
You see, I believe it. Outside Spain, people regard Eibar that highly because it is actually a pretty amazing story. The way they have managed to build their fan base, their club, their loyalty, the way they have managed their economic resources with lots of responsibility, the same responsibility many other sides never going to show when managing their finances. And I think their story has many lessons to be taught. In Spain, Eibar is very well and highly regarded. I believe the only negative story that has leaked from Eibar in the last year was, I don't know if you remember, that
sex tape.
Sex scandal, yeah, with Sarri and Rich. But pretty much it's the only example of negative press. The rest of the comments and any news regarding Eibar put the team in the place they deserve, which is one of an example for the rest of sides in Spain.
Jack, we're going to see an upset here.
I would like to say yes, given the fact that Eibar have comfortably won their last three games. And Sevilla, they haven't necessarily struggled, but, you know, they lost to Espanyol, then they drew 0-0 with Villarreal. They got back on track last weekend with a 1-0 win against Las Palmas. And in fact, they were the first side to have beaten Las Palmas in Gran Canaria this season. So credit to them for that. But like Paco said, the Sanchez-Pizjuan is such a difficult place to go. As much as I think Eibar will fight for it and won't roll over, I think Sevilla will win relatively comfortably. So I'm going to go for a 2-0 Sevilla win.
And Dan, we've seen Eibar go to, you know, similar ferocious stadiums like, what's the name of that place? That's right, the Mestalla. And smash far past them. Can they go to the Peace One?
You should say former formidable stadiums. But right now, nowadays, it's not pretty uncomfortable to play in Mestalla.
What do you reckon, Dano? Is it possible?
I think they could get something, but I don't think they're going to beat them as convincingly as we did against Valencia and as we did last week at home. It depends on what Sampaoli is going to do with his team selection. With the Champions League coming up, I'd like to see Nzonzi rested. The lad looked shattered last week against the Las Palmas. If he rotates quite a bit, with the confidence what Eibar's got at the minute, they're going to have a good chance of getting at least a point. And the point would be a massive point if they do get it. Let's not underestimate how big a point it would be if they were to go to such a dominant team and get a point from the away fixture in that. But then, I just think Sevilla, they've got their confidence is high as well. As Jack's just pointed out, first team to go to Las Palmas and win this season away from home at Las Palmas. So both teams in good confidence, both teams in a good position, but then you're putting the Champions League. I'm going to go for a narrow Sevilla win. That's if Sampaoli rotates. Do you think he'll rotate, Gav?
No. I actually think Sevilla will actually hammer Eibar in this one. I think Eibar are in for the hammering because Sevilla have Leicester coming up. The last thing Sampaoli wants to be doing is to be messing around. I think he'll just go all out for this. And you know yourself, when Sevilla are on form, they're unstoppable. And I think Eibar are in for the first hammering of the season. So I will go for a 3-0 win to Sevilla. But again, we all love Eibar. We we all love Sampdoria, so everybody wins. So we have my favourite time of the day, Sunday morning, Real Sociedad versus Villarreal. Paco, can La Real take the fourth spot?
Yes. In short, I believe that they are right now the team in top form, candidate for that fourth spot after Barca and Madrid and Sevilla. I believe that Atletico Madrid's performance shows clear signs of fatigue. And on the other hand, La Real is completing an excellent season, in my opinion. At least when you focus on the way they play, the flair, the style. I think Real Sociedad have shown glimpses of that. You remember Guardiola's Barcelona we talked about, obviously with different players and with different tactics. I think they have that sense of keeping the ball and moving it and tilting it from one side of the pitch to the other one and waiting for their chances to come up. All in all, I like La Real Sociedad this year a lot under Eusebio's command. So I think after today's beating against Rome, I think Villarreal is in for a wild morning in Anoeta. 3-0.
Very nice. Jack, now the Atleti fan, what do you reckon? You think La Real are a shoe-in for fourth?
Not quite a shoe-in, but I wouldn't be surprised if we found a way to screw it up. But in all seriousness, La Real, they are very much the form team. They've won 10 from the last 14, and I think they'll make it 11 from 15 this weekend against Villarreal, who, after they were torn over by Roma, it's not going to get any easier for them. La Real, they just play, they're playing some really beautiful football, as Paco hinted at. They seem to have everyone kind of on the same page. Everyone knows exactly what they should be doing at what time and whereabouts on the pitch, whereas kind of Villarreal just look like a bit of a hot mess at the moment. And I think the role of the midfield, in particular Iamendi and Zurutuza, is going to be really key for any success that La Real have this weekend. But yeah, I'm going to go for a comfortable home win.
Dan?
I've got to agree with the lads, Gav. I think it's going to be a comfortable La Real win. I think that they showed last week, Real Sociedad, how well they can play in tough matches, because it was a real good match last week. And this week, I think it'll be a bit easier, even though Villarreal are only one place below them. But as Jack's just said, and we've pointed out in recent weeks, Villarreal are off form, and they've had an absolute stinker tonight. I'm going to go for 3-0. I think it'll be quite close to start with Villarreal being quite defensive, but I think they'll just pick them apart as the second half gets halfway, as we get halfway through the second half, to a point where Villarreal just give up and don't offer no attacking threat. And it's going to make it 8 points if they do win. 8 points difference between the two teams, which I think it then ends Villarreal's search for a Champions League spot.
Well, that brings us on nicely to my game of the weekend. And I'm not just saying that, Paco, because you're on. It really is my game of the weekend, because we have Valencia versus Athletic. And Valencia have got to put performance in against a team who are coming off, you know, the back of a win in the Europa League. This should be a cracker.
It's going to be a very tough game for Valencia, you know, because there are many other circumstances that are already affecting the way the game is going to be played several days before. You know, there's been a call up on social networks, social media amongst fans to protest an hour before the game takes place outside the Mestalla Stadium against Peter Lim's ownership. So that is going to be interesting. Obviously, there is a streak of three consecutive games without winning that is seriously affecting the way Valencia and Valencia fans were looking to the rest of the season. after two wins under Boros managing, things looked bright upon Valencia's future. It seemed it would be relatively easy to outrun the relegation spots. But nowadays, if you see the standings, only 4 points from those relegation spots. So I think Valencia fans shouldn't be safe right now. They should be quite alarmed, actually. And that game against Athletic Club has so many different sides to it. The fans, the management, the president has come back to Valencia. Lei Hun Chan, the chair of the board, has come back after 3 weeks of absence. And I think she's going to feel the heat. I think fans are not going to be happy of the way the team is performing and the way the club is being managed. So if we take everything and put into the melting pot, I think Athletic has a pretty good chance of taking away the 3 points without much effort, because everything is gathering around and maybe creating and blending into the perfect storm. If Athletic Club scores early, it is going to be a mad afternoon, a mad evening in Mestalla. So I think it's quite open the way the game is going to finish, but I don't see Valencia winning. So I'll say a draw. 1-1, 2-2, a draw between two teams.
Jack, I never thought it was possible we'd actually get somebody as pessimistic on as you. Can you be any more optimistic about this game?
No, I'm afraid I can't. I can't see Valencia picking up 3 points. I think Athletic will be too strong for them. I mean, a lot of it does depend on the reaction of the players from the fans. We know, well, we've seen in the past, Mestalla can be a fabulous place, but it can also be the place where your nightmares come true, depending on how things are going. And I think a lot of it depends on how the players react to the fans. And, you know, because you get some players and some teams who they see the passion of the fans and that fires them up and motivates them. But then other players and other teams, it just shoots them down. One thing's for sure is that Valencia really need to just eradicate all individual mistakes. They just need to go back to basics and stop making these stupid errors, from silly sending offs to ridiculous decision making from the likes of Mangala. They need to go back to basics and learn how to keep their heads and keep their cool in high pressure situations. But with all that said, I think Aritz Aderis is gonna keep on doing the business, and I'm gonna go for a 1-0 Athletic win.
Dan, come on, Chief.
Valencia win, Gav. I'll
yes,
say it.
Of course
yes.
You will. Yes,
Valencia win. If it weren't for San Mamés, I wouldn't be saying that at all. Athletic are a different beast at home, but that late Apol Nicosia second goal, I think it's just changed it a little bit, because they haven't got the biggest squad. We know that they haven't got the biggest talent pool to pick from in terms of the recruitment. So I'd rest Aderis or not play the full 90 minutes, and I think Valencia are going to surprise a few people, especially the two who just spoke prior to me speaking. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 Valencia win. Watch it now be a 4-0 hammering from Athletic.
Not at all, lads. 3-0 Valencia. Masterclass coming up. Masterclass. Santi Mina scored him 2, and Zaza had to get his first league off.
I'm sorry to tell you that Santi Mina is injured. Anyway.
Oh, that's fine. Munir will get the brace.
Yeah, well, you know, as a headline, I would say Mestalla, that brutally fabulous crowd, and also fabulously brutal crowd, depending on the way the teams perform.
Damn, we've Celta Vigo versus Osasuna up after that match. What are we looking at there, Chief?
I'm going to go for an own win there, Gav. I think Osasuna are going to put a performance in, but just not have enough firepower like we've seen in recent weeks. So, own win for me, buddy.
Paco.
Osasuna will put the effort and sell to the goals. 2-0.
Now, we know what Jack's going to say next.
Go on, then. What do you think I'm going to say, mate?
I think you're going to go with an Osasuna win.
Not quite. I reckon they'll grab a draw with Sergio Leon.
No, hold on.
Sergio Leon will score.
No.
They won't be able to hold on.
Let's go back to Monday's pod.
No.
You said, no, we're not allowed to change your mind, Jack. You said Osasuna will win.
I don't think you I
said,
did.
Oh, you did. You said, I'm going to stick my neck out and
yeah,
say,
I remember this.
Soon are going to win.
It's very easy to check it out.
Okay, well, well, in that case, well, Sergio Leon's going to score, but instead of it being an equaliser, it'll be a winner.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Jack. I'm with you. Barcelona versus Leganés. Tough one. Jack?
This has got the potential to be very, very ugly indeed. So let's just put it lightly and say a comfortable home win.
Damn, we're looking at double digits here, aren't we? This is the frustration.
4-0 Leganés. No, 5-0 Barca. Perfect prep for the tie next month against PSG. 5-0.
Paco, are you going to go against that by any chance?
Well, actually, I hope it doesn't become a snuff movie of a game. I hope Barca, at the end of the day, shows some kind of respect. Easy Barca win, 4-5-0. And I hope it stays there.
And the last Monday night game, we've got Malaga versus Las Palmas. Now, Las Palmas, Jack, you've brought to my attention something I didn't realise, that they're not actually great travellers on the road.
No, they're really not. They haven't won all season apart from the opening day when they had the joys of beating Valencia 4-2.
Yeah. That was obviously a cracking game of football, that, remember that?
Yeah, it was. And you know what? I think they could pick up their first win on the road since then against Malaga, who are looking very dreadful. They weren't too bad last weekend against Villarreal, but they're like a body that is slowly dying, and they just need to go.
What do you reckon, Paco? Have you been impressed with Las Palmas this season, Paco?
Quite irregularly. You know, it is a very fluctuating side, able of surprising everyone and playing beautiful football, and at the next week being very underwhelming performances, delivering against worse teams. But actually, I think this game has the potential of being the best one in the weekend. I think it has the potential of showing two teams without restraints, without a good defense, going full out on the other. So I think we may see a riot of a game. 4-3 for Las Palmas.
Oh, Dan, what do you reckon of that? For Monday night football, they've been brilliant, to be honest, Monday night football.
They have, and I like the sound of that, Paco. I'm going to go for a high-scoring draw, maybe a 2-2, 3-3 at La Rosaleda. I think it'll be a great game as well. Both teams going for it. Brilliant way to end the weekend's fixtures on a Monday.
And before we go, Neil Parsons asked us a question, and I've decided to take this question and answer it myself, where he kind of stated Real Madrid to win the league, ? No. Simple as that. No.
Ever the optimist.
No. Paolo Odegaard asked another question. I'd say it's directed at you, Paco. It's, can Eibar make Europe?
Oof, I think it's a long shot. Too many teams in front of them with deeper bench and with more quality players. I believe Eibar is going to perform very highly on the remainder of the season, but I don't know if they have what you need to become a Europe team.
Jack, Neil also asks, who's going to be relegated?
Granada, who I think that they've already accepted that they've gone. Sporting and Leganés. I reckon Osasuna will do a madness and stay up thanks to Sergio Leon.
And Dan, Owen Brown asked a question. 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Got to be 100 duck-sized horses.
There you go, Owen. There's your question asked. Well, lads, looking, thanks very much for coming on. Jack, Dan, tell the lads where you can be found. Can start with you, Jack.
So I'm on Twitter, at La Liga Jack.
And I'm on Twitter as well, at DowellBFC. DowellBFC.
And Paco, mate, the floor is yours, chief. Tell them all what happened.
How nice. Well, you can find me at Paco Polit, ENG, from English. And if you want to practice your Spanish, obviously, I got given back my Twitter handle, my Spanish Twitter handle, finally. You can find me at Paco Polit. 9 letters.
Cheers to that, Paco. Thanks for coming on. We will have another pod out next Tuesday morning where we will be reviewing all the games weekend. So until then, thank you.